This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 232. Haterade, is it in you? Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Your gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our wonderful podcast.
I've been bit, guys. By a spider.
That's really how we're going to start the show
off? I got bit on my face by a spider. Spiders, I'm coming for you.
Look, here's the thing. You go out
I'm
to a goth
club. I'm going Punisher on your ass.
No, here's the thing. You go out to a goth club, you're going to get bit by something. It's either going to be an emo dude, a fake vampire, or a spider.
Or a steampunk. There was a lot of steampunks.
Yeah, but they don't typically bite.
Unless you ask them.
Right. Did you ask somebody to bite you?
No.
Did you get bit by a steampunky dude? No, because that's definitely a spider bite. You know what's not steampunk or a spider bite?
Our website.
You got it. Which you can visit online at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bounce it along when you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. iTunes, subscribe, please, thank you, leave a review.
All you gotta do to make sure that you get the brand new episodes of our podcast the moment that we put them out on the interwebs is subscribe to our podcast, and the easiest way to do that is through iTunes. You search for us by name, you hit the subscribe button.
Bushin?
I was eating Twizzlers.
Bushin?
Button. You hit the subscribe button. Although bushin would have more cushion, right?
Yeah, it'd be like a cushiony button.
Yeah. That'd
but,
be welcome.
But then you'd always... Yeah, but see, but then there'd be, like, that danger button that you don't press unless it's like an emergency. And they'd make it really plushy so you'd want to touch it. Because... And you think it would make, like, a cute sound, like... Squeak! When you put...
but what
it
kind
would,
of
like,
noise?
But it would, like, blow up France.
Oh, poor France.
I know, which is
They're
why we
always
can't...
getting it, you know?
They are les fucks.
They are les fucks. Anyway... Hit the subscribe button. You can also search for our podcast in the Zune Marketplace because it's there. And you will get fresh episodes the moment that we put them out on the interwebs. And that's the way you want to get your esh. Fresh and unencumbered.
Wait, unencumbered? Oh, like burdened?
You got it. See? See?
My brain is finally coming back.
You're coming online there, kiddo.
Coming back.
All right, the hangover is almost over. Almost over.
Yeah, I know. Don't scream so loud, though.
Four more years. Wait, no, sorry. Wrong one. Gone till November. Wait, no, that's the way I clutched out. You know what? We'll come up with something.
Yeah, let's get... Well, no, because in 4 years I'll be 30 and then I'll just be giving up on alcohol. So, yeah, 4 more years.
Why is it with you and everything? 30 is like the cutoff for all fun in life. I beg to differ.
Not
but you know what?
Fun.
We need to get back to what the other stuff is.
I didn't say
so
all fun.
So if you're not subscribing to us in iTunes...
You can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But please be looking out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that exists in the land of Esh. Stop playing with that.
Oh, it hurts.
While our shows go out every single Monday, you know, typically... You can catch episodes of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which we highly recommend, and they just happen to be affiliated with us, on Tuesdays. And they talk about video games and gadgets, too, but also a lot of music, anime, manga, J-pop, movies, sports, theater, all kinds of creative shit. So you want to get down with them, because they have a unique perspective on shit. And I highly recommend it. Then you follow that up with an episode of the Geek Agro podcast, which is hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. And right there, your nerd's covered till Wednesday. Getting you through the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we have on our respective websites, which you can find conveniently in one place, landofesh.com. You can follow all of us on Twitter to keep the randomness going. And if you want to find all the members that make up the Land of Esh, including some of the folks who just work on the magazine, you can go to twitter.com/ninjasister and check out the Land of Esh list. I recommend following them all, but you can find what you like and follow what you like, and you know, if you don't like it, keep it to yourself. Because if you don't have nothing nice to say, you shouldn't say it at all unless you have your own blog. Oh, wait. We do. Ha ha!
We can do whatever
we want. Like. Yeah.
We're not
the new episode of the magazine.
The new episode?
Yeah, I know. The new issue. Oh, look, you have a little stampy thingy left. The new issue of our magazine is currently on sale, so you want to make sure that you pick that up. Again, you can go to landofesh.com and check out the new issue. It's freaking awesome. It's called Tag Your It. I definitely recommend it, not just because I want to sell you one, but because I actually enjoy reading the thing, and I think you will too. We've got some things on Assassin's Creed Brotherhood in there, some things on Super Mario Galaxy 2, some things on Passion Pit, with some great, great photos by our girl and new ESH alum, Mon, who is amazing with a camera, an iPhone camera. Holy crap. I still can't believe that those pictures were from a freaking phone. So make sure that you're checking out all the neat shit that we're coming up with, people, because we do it for you, mostly for ourselves, but for you too, for your benefit. We are for you. Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is, I never left you.
No, I just got bit by a spider on my face.
Oh my god, is this entire hour going to be about the spider in the face bite? Yeah. See, I shouldn't have told you. I should have told you you were fine. It was just a pimple. It is just a pimple. I was fucking with you. It's not a spider bite.
No, you can't do it now.
It's a pimple.
No, it's a spider bite.
It's a pimple. It's turning pink. It's a pimple.
No, you just said there was a bite mark.
I lied.
You don't lie.
I do.
You don't lie very well.
I do.
You're not lying really well right now.
You have a hair on your face.
I have several hairs on my face. I'm actually... All those peach fuzz are all little baby hairs. So we're actually all really hairy.
No, Robin Williams is really hairy.
I have this one.
Can we do the show?
And this one.
Can we do the show? Can you stop focusing on the stupid little bite on your face?
If it were you, you'd be freaking out, so don't even play.
No, I've been bitten by a spider on my face before.
When?
In my sleep.
That's probably what happened to me.
Yeah. I told you. We get to the show?
We should probably file reports.
Nobody wants to hear my... Yeah, like,
I was assaulted.
I was assaulted by in my sleep. Really, ma'am? Do you know what your attacker looked like? Yeah, he had eight legs. that's gonna go over really well.
He was like a ninja.
Do your bit. We got game stuff this week, and we've got anime stuff this week.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we don't have any gadget stuff this week.
Nope.
We're waiting for some gadgets to come in, but we have game and anime stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you take the mic of 1,000 Truths and go first.
All right. Well, actually, I have a little bit of anime stuff to talk about, too.
Ooh.
I just have a little tidbit of gaming. So I finally went and I reserved Pokemon White.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all.
Don't sing the song. But yeah.
I've had nothing to do. I'll do whatever the damn thing I want. Whee!
Anyway, so, so I went and got Black Ops from GameStop the other day, and when I went there, I saw the big posters for Pokemon Black and Pokemon White, and I was like,
the posters get you?
Yeah.
They get you every time.
Well, because it's really fun, because the Pokemon Black poster has this big white legendary Pokemon on it, and Pokemon White has a black one. So I was like, you know what?
Contrast!
Yeah, because I believe that the two legendaries that are on those, you only get that one on whatever poster they're on. So if you get Pokemon Black, you can get the legendary white one that's on the poster, and the white one is a black one. So I was like, you know what? I'm like, I don't want a white Pokemon. I want a black one.
Why? What? You got problems with white
Pokemon?
No,
I've got like four legendary white Pokemon like on my Soul Silver. Oh. And, Soul Silver is already kind of white, so I was like, gotta go away from Silver, which is kind of whitish.
The opposite, yeah.
So I went,
give it a different try.
Well, I got Pokemon White, but that's got the black legendary Pokemon on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are. I didn't do any research on it, but I knew right away that when they were announcing Pokemon White and Black that I was definitely going to get one or the other, because obviously one of the better benefits of playing that game is getting someone who has the opposite of you,
mm-hmm.
because in whatever one you get, there are certain Pokemon that will never appear in your world, in your games, but they appear in the other ones.
Okay.
So if you're a true Pokemon master and you get several different, types of Pokemon that are rare to your game, you can trade them for the rare ones of your friend's game.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, if you're a true collector, then a lot of people will do this, and I already have my Pokemon buddy.
So how do you play a Pokemon game? Because I'll be honest with you, I've never played a Pokemon game.
All right, well,
what's involved, really? Is it like Final Fantasy VII?
Well, you're kind of like the red character who looks a lot like Ash, But I mean, in my game, I'm a chick. So, she kind of... She's not May. I know she's not May, but I think she kind of reminds me of May. But, from Pokemon Advance.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, so you're pretty much living with your mom. And your mom's like, yeah, well, you're, like, old enough to start, you know, going off and doing your own thing. And I think in the game, you're only, like, oh, I don't know, 10.
11. Yeah, that's pretty much the age of, all right, explore the world, get out of my house.
You know, so you go visit the professor in your town. And it's not Oak, initially. It's a different, I think, I believe it's a different, I think in Soul Silver, it was Elm. Professor. So they all have tree names, actually, all the professors. I don't know yet. I know there's Oak and there's Elm. Those are the ones that I've encountered in my game yet, mm-hmm. but I think in the universe they all have, like, tree names. And, you know, in my game, you know, I met up with him and he's like, there's this weird thing going on with this egg, and I want you to hold it and see what happens, and when you hold it, it hatches. So you're like, oh my god, and yeah. So you pretty much just go around, and you're doing these little missions for Elm in Soul Silver. He's like, yo, go to this place and go check this out for me. And later on, he's just like, yeah, just, you know, catch Pokemon, we'll record them in your Pokedex thing, and, you know, just live. Which is weird, because, you know, you don't really
eat. Live!
You really don't eat your Pokemon eat. So in actuality, you're just, you know, a hermit in the grass.
You're an anorexic hermit?
Yeah, with Pokemon.
With Pokemon.
Really powerful Pokemon.
Okay.
And, in Soul Silver, you are in the Johto region,
okay.
Which, if you ever watched the series or came from the anime series to the games, it's backwards, because you start off in Kanto and go to Johto as mm-hmm. the next season, but in this game, you're in Johto and you actually go back to Kanto. So you go backwards in the latest game. So I don't even know where Black and White's going, because I believe it's a totally different area, different types of Pokemon. Like, it was a big deal that they were going to go and redesign a lot of Pokemon and put brand new Pokemon with different classes and mixtures and stuff like that into this game, so it's gonna be a little bit more interesting. They've actually shown a black gym leader in Black and White.
What?
Yep. She looks like she's got this huge afro and she got this big meaty ass, like, mm-hmm. And she wears, like, these big, like, do you remember Samurai Showdown?
Yeah.
Those, like, samurai pants?
Mm-hmm.
Like those. Like, she wears those. And, I don't know what her name is because they didn't release her name when I had first looked her up, but I was like, finally, black gym leader.
What's up?
Awesome. I was like, I am totally down for that.
Now, is there a lot of management in a Pokemon game? Like, would I spend more of my time in management screens looking at text as opposed to, like...
No.
Is it turn-based battle?
Yes. Which you don't like. Because that, you know, all of a sudden, oh, so-and-so's got a preemptive strike. They used Sonic Boom. Well, no, that's Kyle.
Sonic Boom!
You know, or...
I would love a Pokemon that used Sonic Boom and had, like, Guile's fucking mohawk. I would play through it, even though it's turn-based. I would do that just to get the Guile upon.
No, I mean, like, a Pokemon might have, like, Intimidate, like, certain, like, a Demoralizing Roar, which will...
Is that really an attack? Seriously?
Yeah. So
demoralizing roar?
Yeah, and it will make your Pokemon, like, even if you
cast Magic Missile. I'm just saying that right now.
Listen, so there might, yeah, this demoralizing roar. I think it's something like that. And certain Pokemon will cast that as a preemptive attack. And, you know, if it
demoralize you. Demoralize.
And they're like, oh, man, my morale is
shrug.
More or less. Like, oh no, I'm so intimidated. My morale, oh no! And then they attack.
Oh no!
It actually pushes back your attack.
Oh my god!
So you're like, oh crap! It's got the edge on me now. So now it gets to go first because it demoralized me. I have no morals anymore.
Oh my god. Whatever shall I do?
But,
oh my god! That is so funny.
But no, you're not looking at a lot of management screens.
Oh.
I mean, you know,
demoralizing roar.
Some people will play these games completely vanilla. Like, they're, you know, and
some
I mean...
some people play totally chocolate?
No, that's not what I meant. But I mean, like, go back to a WoW perspective. There are some people who play that without any mods, and they're, you know, so they're constantly using fingers and their mice, and they're not, you know, hotkeying anything. It's all from, it's complete gameplay.
Uh-huh.
And then some people will use mods where they have to hit one button and they're doing three different attacks. So, I mean, some people will go into Pokemon and they'll play it straightly vanilla. You get 6 balls, your first 6 Pokemon, that's what they play with the entire game until they beat it. And only after they've beaten all the gym leaders where they can just go around collecting Pokemon will they go and do all that stuff.
Okay.
So, I mean, some people are really hardcore about the full Pokemon experience.
Okay.
You know, and then there are some people who are like, no, I'll get multiple balls and I'll have multiple Pokemon because I'm greedy and I just want everything.
I'm Ash Ketchum. I'll have 75,000 Pokeballs. And they'll all be my friends. But the only one that I'll let walk around outside their Pokeball is Pikachu. No.
He doesn't let Pikachu. Pikachu refuses to go in the ball. Get it right. It was like in the first episode, he was trying to get Pikachu in the ball. And the Pokedex was like, you know, most Pokemon will go in their ball. And then he was like, Pikachu! And he's like, however, some do not like being contained. Like Pikachu. Though granted, I haven't seen any other Pokemon.
Yeah, really.
That have ever had like, such a had a hard time with the balls. But apparently Pikachu's got issues with balls.
Well, Togepi was always
Togepi out. Is already like in its shell, which is kind of like a ball.
I know, but it wasn't like in a ball. Like
no, but it was also like a baby.
What's her face was always carrying it around. Like
it's a baby. It's a baby.
This is my baby.
Yeah,
it's like and then it would be like Togepi, and then like you know it would
metro. No, it would metronome and fuck shit up.
Yeah. And it was like, wow, what just happened? And the Togepi is sitting there going, Togepi! I'm like,
It's a psychic attack. Hello.
Like, hello?
Hello?
You not
hello, psychic like attack. But anyway. So, when I, like I said, going back to Black Ops, so I reserved, which I have a Togepi.
You have a Togepi?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I have a Togepi.
Like for real or in
like
your
for real,
game?
in my Poke game, which is real.
I was thinking like a plushie.
No! I'm not that kind of person.
I was going to say, you have a Pokewalker, do you not?
Yeah.
All right. So don't say
you're
not that
kind. I left my bay leaf in it. I got to get my bay leaf out.
Yeah, you know what I put bay leaf in? Rice.
You don't put bay leaf in your rice? He's
I don't
too
put
big. I oh, love him. He's like a small dog. It's the evolved form of Chikorita. Chica! Okay. But anyway.
Yeah, talk to me about Chikorita. Okay.
Anyway, but no, so I'm really excited to see that game come out. And they were doing a promotion at GameStop when I went to go get Black Ops. And I think the few weeks before the release of the game, if you had Prism, if you had like the Opal, the Pearl, Pokemon games, I think Diamond, Opal, Pearl or whatever. Certain weeks you could go in with your old cartridges. This was back when they were the big cartridges.
Uh-huh.
And you could get a shiny Entei, Raikou, or Suicune, which are the legendary dogs.
Okay.
Alright, so there's a lot of legendaries.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shit
ton.
Yeah. But they're legendary dogs. And they don't really look like dogs.
Uh-huh.
But they're
I remember dogs. Entei from the movie.
Yeah. So the red
it
one
kind of look like a lion.
Yeah, but they call them they're like legendary dogs. Like there's legendary dogs, legendary cats, legendary birds. Like I mean, pretty much all Pokemon
legendary
are legendary.
Snakes, legendary plants.
Actually, I don't know about that. I should look into it.
I have a legendary snake.
I bet you do. On your legendary plane. Oh.
Yes. And I'm so tired of these legendary snakes on this legendary plane.
But I mean, a lot of people are probably going to come because, so I mean, they're regular Pokemon, but then better Pokemon, they're shiny, they're rare.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that
shiny, happy Pokédex and things.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, so they're doing a promotion where I think within the weeks before the release, you could get a shiny Entei, Suicune, or Raikou.
Can you get a shiny Suicune?
That's yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's the legendary water dog. Suicune? I think it's Suicune, but I don't know. I might be saying it wrong.
So it's a poodle?
Like actually it kind of looks like a sea green foamy Lapperpoodle.
Lapperpoodle?
Yeah, legendary though.
So, legendary Lapperpoodle.
So think like a glowy essence around it. If you will.
And then
the Entei, I think, kind of looks like a bull mastiff lion. And then Raikou just looks really upset because he's like, I'm everything that nobody wants in a dog. But I liked Raikou. He was the first legendary dog I caught because those bitches suck. No, because they run. So when you get... No, they do.
I'd run from slavery, too. I'm not going to lie.
Like, you know, in the game when you, when they finally show up because they're in this temple and you release them. So they're like, we're free. So they're like running around. So when you're running around the map, you can see where they are because you can see their head. Uh-huh. Like on the map, so you know where they are. But the closer you get to where they are, they'll move. So there's a trick to, you know, get them to be in an area where you can go in the grass and find them. But sometimes when
why are Pokemon always hiding in the grass?
I don't know. Well, no. There are some that hide in the water, like water Pokemon. And then there are some, like, birds that, like, hide in, like, mountains.
The sky? What?
Or mountain areas, because they're higher in the air. You know, and then there's, like, mystical ones that are, like, in, like, tunnels.
Why are they in tunnels? What's mystical about tunnels? Because
there's, like, all these
tunnels?
Underground temples and shit that seem to be underground, and that's where they're, like, hanging out. Lugia was, like, at an underwater waterfall, like, in a cavern. And I'm like... okay. And he was just hanging out like, yeah, I'm Lugia. I'm that big... he's the one on my the cover yeah. that I have. He's that big white, bluish one. I like him. But anyway, so, I mean, a lot of people are probably going to pull in to get shinies because, one, they're rare, two, they're legendary, and, you know, black and white are coming. And when I went to go get Black Ops and they were talking to me about this, they were showing the boxes for the 3DS. For
I'm still not convinced about the 3DS.
I like the blue color.
I'm not, like, killed on the blue color.
I would not buy it for the color alone, but I like the color shift.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking about color wearing my DS.
So, but they were trying so hard to convince me, like, oh, do you want to, I'm like, no. I'm like, I have a 3DS, I really only use it for Pokemon, Phoenix Wright, and Cookie Mama. Not really.
No, you don't have a 3DS.
No, I mean a DSi.
Yeah, that's what you meant to say, because I'm like, you don't already have a 3DS. Oh,
well, I don't need a 3DS because I have a DSi.
Yep,
I really only play Pokemon, Rhythm Heaven, Ace, Phoenix Wright, and I still
Objection!
I still haven't played my Miles game. Like, I got the Miles Edgeworth game, and I still haven't opened it, which says a lot about me.
Yeah, really, it does.
I need to jump on that.
Yeah, I'm playing Rhythm Heaven... and Spirit Tracks on my DSi.
Okay. But
when I play my DSi.
But yeah, so I'm really excited about that. In terms of my anime affliction, Netflix, I went and I got Perfect Blue, and I got the OVA for X-Holics, Triple X-Holics, called Midsummer's Night's Dream.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
Yeah. So you saw the OVA?
Yeah, I saw the OVA. I haven't seen the,
series.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I owned Perfect Blue a long time ago when I lost it, and I really hope that I'll eventually just
Which
suck it up.
Which one's Perfect Blue again?
It's from the same guy who did...
Your mother? What?
No. Because then we'd be Blasian.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being
No, I'd love to be Blasian.
You kind of look Blasian.
I know, I think I might be. I won't tell Mom if you won't.
I would think that she would know.
Maybe.
I would think.
She might be paranoid. But no, so Perfect Blue, like the people who did Paprika. And so not Hayao Miyazaki, but the other dude who everybody thinks.
Not Miyazaki, but the other dude that everyone thinks Miyazaki.
Yeah, did.
That guy.
I never get his name right. Takahashi? I think is his last name.
Okay.
But, anyway, so a lot of people will assume that an animated film that they're watching is Hayao Miyazaki when it's not, and it's this other guy who worked for Studio Ghibli and worked alongside Hayao Miyazaki a lot, so that's why the style and maybe the storytelling looks very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've seen Millennium Actress?
No.
Okay, he did that one too.
I've seen Paprika.
Okay, so you have the idea of what the style looks like and the storytelling is like.
Yep.
And I had Perfect Blue a very long time ago, and the reason why I even bought it then is I had pretty much just watched Fushigi Yugi and the main American leads for Perfect Blue were Wendy Lee and Ruby Marlowe, who did the voices of Yui and Miyaka from Fushigi Yugi.
Okay.
So I thought it was great to see these two actors come back into a totally different, you know, story, and hopefully portray people. I was expecting to hear Yui and Miyaki, and granted, I heard the exact same voice, but the characters were completely different, so there was a totally different dimension.
Yeah, that's one thing that I don't like, when I'm watching an anime, is to recognize the voice of a character, and it be so strong a recognition for me for another character that they've done,
right?
That I can't not hear the other character when I hear that one speak.
Well, I mean, I think for Perfect Blue, the way that the story is, their relationship, the characters, was kind of similar to that of Miyaka and Yui in Fushigi-Yugi. I mean, in it, you have this pop idol, Miriamin. I'm not saying her name right.
Yeah.
But,
Miriam?
No, it's like,
Miriamin?
No, it sounds like that, but I'm saying it wrong. But, she's a part of this trio called Cham, and she's leaving the group to become a solo actress.
Uh-huh.
And at the time that this movie's going on, idols were really kind of losing their power in Japan. They weren't nearly as popular, and a lot of them were transitioning. And she was like, you know, I did come here to become a singer, but it's not doing what I need it to do, and I need to expand myself. You know, and she has this manager, named Rumi. And Rumi's played by Wendy Lee, and, you know, she's very accomplished in the industry, you know, and, you know, she really doesn't want this idol to go into acting. She wants to keep her as an idol. And you find out later on that, you know, Rumi had been an idol, you know, before she went into the industry on the business aspect and had been an entertainer. So she's kind of vicariously living through this idol.
Okay.
You know, so that's why she didn't want her transitioning into movies and acting, but she really wanted to do it. So she leaves this group, and, like, all of her fanboys are like, no, don't go, and, you know, and it's really kind of sad, because, I mean, a lot of people have strong followings like that, and you see her leaving this pop, light, naive world, you know, and she's transitioning into this acting world, and they put her on this dramatic TV drama. So think, like, NCIS meets Clue.
Okay.
Sort of.
All right.
You know, and, you know, they first they only giving her really bum lines, or they might only do 4 shots of her, so they really don't see her as an actress, but she starts to blossom in this show, and for a while there, you don't know if what they're recording is real or not, so you're dealing with 2 different sides to the main character, who she's leaving her naive world in the idol world, and she's embracing the range that she'll have as an actress, you know, and they're having her do all these things, you know, she's, like, kind of selling out, you know, they wanted to do these smutty scenes, and, you know, she meets up with this photographer who does a spread for her, and she pretty much gets butt naked for her, like, he has a reputation of getting actresses to, like, strip, you know, she really doesn't want to do it, but she knows that, you know, she's gotta climb up the reins, you know, to kind of be seen as a,
climb,
you know,
the ladder in order to be seen by...
Yeah, the way that she wants to be seen as an actress.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden, while all these things are going on, you know, Cham, that's now a duo, is actually doing better without her. So, you know, she's kind of like, oh my God, did I make the wrong mistake? You know, sometimes you think she wants to revert back to being an idol, you know, and her psychosis builds up this other version of her, who's still in her idol outfit, and she's like, you're just a dirty whore now, people have seen you naked, you're tainted, and you can't go back to the world that I'm in. So, and... all these people, you know, like the screen director of the drama who's writing all these smutty scenes for her, he ends up dead. Like, he's been hacked up by ice pick, and his eyes have been gouged out. And the photographer...
That's a bad way to go.
And this photographer also got butchered, like, right after the really big, like, when the pinnacle part in the drama happened where that smutty scene, because she got raped. She was a stripper. She got raped at the club by, like, her patrons, which... I guess could happen. I never hear about it.
I don't hear about rape in the club. I know that Usher wanted to find love in the club.
Well, someone found some forced love in the club.
Yeah, forced love is not...
Take my love. Take my love.
No,
take
my love. No.
And she's like, no. And
no means no. Or at least it should in anime. It doesn't typically.
It doesn't usually.
But it should. It really should.
But, I mean, where all these... pinnacle points in her career start shaping her, you know, to transition, all these murders are happening, you know, and they're all really conveniently during parts of, you know, the story where she's blacking out and she's not remembering things. So for a while there, she's like, is this part real? Am I gonna wake up? Like, she doesn't understand. Like, she's going mad because she can't figure it. She's losing touch with reality to get in touch with her character. So there's this level where you don't really know what's going on until near the very end where finally everything starts making sense. You find out that Rumi, her manager, is completely obsessed with, I'm just going to call her Mimi, Mimirin,
her life as an idol. So her apartment, so Rumi's apartment, looks just like the idol's apartment. Like, everything to the bone. She's been working on this website, you know, where she's been talking like Mimi.
Uh-huh.
And telling her fans, she's like, I really don't like that I'm doing this movie, this show. I really don't want to do it. People are making me do things I don't want to do, and I just wish everybody would die. And one of her fans is taking it upon himself to do this on behalf of her. Even though she's not, the real one's not writing the site. It's Rumi. And she ends up killing this one devoted fan who killed the two other guys. You know, because he all of a sudden was like, well, if you can get raped on TV, I can rape you right now in front of nobody. And you should totally just do what the scene says. Like, he wrote out a scene and stuff. It's actually kind of really, really scary. And she ends up killing him. You know, and Rumi is there mysteriously to save her and brings her back to Rumi's apartment, which looks just like her apartment. And she realizes that Rumi had facilitated the whole thing. And well, and she wanted to get back her idolism, and because Mimi wasn't doing it for her, she decided she was going to take her out and just take over her life. And
that's fucked up.
Yeah, and you know, believe it or not, there were a couple of times where you thought Rumi was gonna die, and Mimi was gonna let her die. And at the very end, Mimi does save her because she was wearing this wig. And Mimi is fighting with her, and she rips it off. And, like, when the wig comes off, like, Rumi, you know, her brain just completely... She doesn't feel like she's the real Mimi without it. So she, like, starts freaking out, and she's reaching out to grab it, and there's, like, this broken window. So as she's reaching for it, she, like, gouges herself on this glass, and she's dying, and she's stumbling out into the street. And, she steps on the street and she's like dying, and she stands in front of this truck because it looks like the stage light, and the real Mimi pushes her out of the way and just, you know, pays for her treatment because she's just mentally unstable. She can't dissociate herself from Rumi and being Mimi. Like, she's so obsessed with Mimi that she's made herself in her own mind Mimi, you know. So it's really a really psychologically testing, and I really liked it back then after Fushigi Yugi,
now, after watching some definitely decidedly more fucked up animes between that period of time,
I still think that this is really still very powerful and dramatic in a psychological sense.
Okay, so buy it, rent it, wouldn't suck as a gift.
I'm planning to rebuy it since I lost it. So, I mean, if you like psychological thrillers of any kind, animated or not, because I do think they do have a live-action version of this.
Really?
Yeah, I do believe so. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't, because that's probably like a 19... I want to say it was probably like a 1980s movie, so if they redid it now, it'd be really great. But, go get it in the animated sense. I don't think you'll be really disappointed.
So buy it.
And if someone hears that you want it, and they buy it for, you know, give it to you as a gift, that would not suck either.
Sweet. Sweet. I like that. That's good stuff. It sounds really fucked up, though. So that makes it, you know, definitely up my alley.
I honestly think you should check it out.
All right, well, what about Black Ops? I thought you said you had some Black Ops stuff.
Oh my god, yeah. So, I know, I totally went a totally different route.
You're like, I've got Black Ops stuff, and I've got like a little bit of anime.
I just started Black Ops, so I know I'm like a month or so behind most people.
Dude, I still haven't picked it up yet. I need to.
Yeah. But I mean, I
got a game for that shit.
But I finally went and got it. You know, and at first I was debating for a very long time if I was going to go and buy into Treyarch. You know, I've never had an issue with Treyarch per se. I mean, I always felt that they were kind of outdated because they never expand their realm past World War I or World War II.
Yeah.
So, I mean, after a while you're like, okay, so we're fighting the Japs.
Japanese.
We're fighting the Japanese. And our guns are, they're high tech for the time, but they're really, you know, and I think that's what, you know, always gave Infinity Ward the advantage, where they went modern, where we could totally see laser sights and all these advancements in technology. So I like the idea that Treyarch was like, you know what, we need to come into modern times. We need to come past World War I and World War II. So, I mean, in Black Ops, we're actually dealing, like, with the Bay of Pigs. We're trying to get to Castro, you know, Vietnam. Like, we're seeing all those. They're still our past, but they're modern.
So they're more present past than past past.
Which I like. And I think it's a really comfortable move for Treyarch to make, because you can't come way, way too current, because then it will just be like Modern Warfare 3.
Right.
And we're not ready for that shift into that story anyway. So, I mean, why not fill in the blanks between where you were in World War One and what's happening in Modern Warfare?
And before you get into that, I have a question for you. Are you ready for a Modern Warfare 3 that's not done by Infinity Ward?
Believe it or not, I think Infinity Ward just has to keep it, so no. I would not want to... I don't know if it would translate well from a different group. So I don't think it would even be a Modern Warfare. I don't even think they could coin that. So it'd have to be something completely different. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to see a Treyarch Modern Warfare-esque game coming out right now.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's so much stuff that hasn't been touched by either of these companies that, you know, they could try to explain, which is what they're kind of doing with Black Ops. They're filling in all the gaps. Like, there has to be some interesting stories that are going on between World War II and Modern Warfare 1. I mean, there's a couple of decades in between here. I mean,
there's some shit. There's a little bit of shit.
Yeah, I know. So, like, they could go in and, you know, approach all of those and give them all their unique spin. Not to mention, well, you know, shoving history down our throats.
Mm.
In a
take my history. Take it! Take all of it!
More or less. So, yeah.
Sorry.
So I was really glad to see that. So, I mean, a couple of friends of mine over at the B3 crew already had, you know, bought it. I had been sitting around watching them play, but I was like, well, I'm glad they're going to do that, but I don't feel myself being sucked in. You know, I'm like, so why did I wait until now? More or less because of that lack of hype for me. And I was just like, I've never been great at multiplayer. I always feel really self-conscious when I'm playing with other people.
Same here.
So, I mean, I was like, I have nothing but a story, and granted, the story in Black Ops, if you're a dedicated player, you can get that done in six hours.
You can fly a plane, though. You can fly a plane.
Yeah, you can fly a plane.
You can fly a plane.
Yep, I saw Blue Onnit play that level.
I want to play
where
that
can
level.
Where he flies a plane.
I want to fly the
and
plane.
shoots from the plane.
I want to shoot from the plane and fly the plane.
But anyway,
can I just
so
go straight to that level.
No, I don't even know what that is. I've only started playing, so I'm only within maybe the first three or four flashbacks. Because your main character, Alex Mason, was working for the army.
If I buy it, will you play with me online?
Well, Eshtom plays online, so
I know.
But I wouldn't want to play with Eshtom because he'll make you look really bad.
Yeah, really. You look like a noob next to Eshtom.
Yeah, I know. You know, I had no problems at first. Like, yeah, you can totally play Modern Warfare 2. And then he started playing and, like, beefing me up because he plays on my GT. And I'm just like, I'm getting all these, like, emails from people who are like, you're going to see you next Tuesday. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know who you are. And then I realize, oh.
Eshtom.
Eshtom's making me enemies. That's all right, though.
Because he frags the week.
Yeah, and there's a picture of a chick going. when they get pwned. But anyway, so I thought it was really great that I bought this because it gives him new maps.
Right.
It gives him a chance to play.
It looks great. I mean, I've been upstairs watching you and Eshtom play, and I mean, it looks phenomenal. It's definitely the quality that you expect out of a Call of Duty game.
Oh, definitely.
You know, to look on a console for sure, which is one thing I was worried about with Treyarch because they do past wars so well, I wasn't sure that they would be able to make something more present look as good.
Right.
You know?
Right.
As we expect out of a...
Oh, no. I was impressed by that. Control functions are very similar to any Call of Duty game, you know, that we've played presently. So I felt very natural jumping right back in. I've been playing the story mode, and Eshtom's been playing the multiplayer and the zombies and the zombie arcade mode, and he seems to really like those.
Zombie arcade!
I've been playing with the extend play that we got to test out and review. And I have
the other review fourth pending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one's coming. But I'm still just playing with it and getting used to it because I wanted to play a game where obviously I'd be doing a lot of hours of play where obviously there'd be a chance for my hands to get tired and or fatigue.
And for those of you who are not familiar, the extend play is basically a connector that you can put onto either your Xbox 360 controller or your PS3 controller, depending upon which one that you get, that's designed to take and place your hands in a way so you get less thumb and finger fatigue and also cut down on the possibility of getting, you know, gamer claw and permanently actually damaging yourself with like carpal tunnel or things like that. So it's designed for a long play in mind to help you help yourself not fuck up your hands.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we first got it, I was trying to think of a game that would require me to be doing a lot of action with my fingers that would test out fatigue. Mm-hmm. And obviously a game that I could replay.
Crackdown?
That would do all that. While I let Blue Onyx my Crackdown too, so I don't have it right now. I have to get that. Yeah, I have to get it back. But I wanted a game that required me to be playing with multiple buttons at multiple times to test
the range of... Because we gotta get you more beefy.
It's true. We do. But, like I said, I wanted to test something that would allow me to really test it out, and so I'm not just hitting an A button, going through text,
right,
randomly, you know, left triggering and right bumpering to shoot or anything like that. I really wanted to test the range.
Right.
So, not only did I play Black Ops, where, you know, I had to do all that, but I also went back to Bayonetta, which pretty much is a giant button masher, so anything button mashing would help me test this.
I love Bayonetta.
And, I have noticed when I have played for extended hours with Bayonetta, where I'm actually doing a lot more button mashing and not, you know, analog moving or anything like that, that I don't feel a lot of stress in my fingers from the button mashing. Like, when I'm doing the rapid taps during the torture attacks, I'm not feeling so much strain when I'm trying to get that...
You don't get that funny pain in the
middle thumb. Right, in between of the thumb and... Yeah, I'm not getting any of that anymore. I've never had an issue rotating the analog sticks a lot. Like, some people will get that pain in their thumb when they're whirling it around, like if
right,
it calls
they do
for
that circular motion with just the thumb.
And I mean, I've never had an issue with it, but that's also because I don't do it properly. You know, I don't do it with my thumb, which is, I think, technically how it's constructed to work. I kind of totally noob that, and I just hold the controller and I just put the analog stick dead center in my palm and I just whirl it. I whirl it
around. Yeah, see, I don't use the palm of my hand, but whenever I have something that's like, you gotta swing it around, I will take, like, a couple of fingers and I'll put it on the top, and so I will pull it on the side of my hand, I'll go like this with it.
That's what
because
I'll do.
I can't, you know, because I've had a cyst in my wrist, and I've had it removed, I can't do this. Like, my thumb doesn't make that circular
motion. Yeah, I noticed,
motion.
You're kind of boxing it out there.
I can't.
It's like a box, octagon, triangle thing.
It's because I don't have that, you know, control. It's the reason why I couldn't go to art school because of that surgery. Because I don't have that fine control in my hand. So I can't do...
People can't see it, but it's pretty pitiful, guys.
I can't. It's one of the reasons why I don't, you know, for the longest time, I don't play FPSs on the console. It's not because I you know, hate them. It's because I can't.
See, you should play them on PC.
You know, I can do that, but I can't.
No, see, that thumb's like, I don't know what you're trying to tell me to do.
Thumb's just like, I don't, what are we doing? I don't know.
Like, is this a circle? Is it a pentagon?
It's more like a trapezoid.
Is it an octagon?
It's more like a trapezoid. It's like, oh, no, these sides are not even.
Yeah.
You know, and so I can't, like, even if I... Focus. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so that's why a lot of FPSs are not comfortable for me because strafing and looking and control, I physically can't do that very well.
So when I bought Black Ops in mind, I'm always been very big on the story. And I mean, the stories are pretty generic. I mean, there's really not too much going on, or at least in Modern Warfare. Okay, so we're being terrorized.
Yep.
They try to make the attack on them look like us. Let's go in there and fix it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Black Ops is really taking the offense of, okay, so we have some dudes, you know, like the main character, Alex Mason. He's working for the army.
Yeah.
And he gets thwarted by some Russians who implant this information in him. And he kind of goes AWOL for a while there.
He got probed?
He got probed, yeah. Aww. And he got stuff implanted, and then he was AWOL for years, and he was working with he was put into Vespucha, which I think it's Vespucha, or Vortuya, or whatever, I can't pronounce it, but he gets put into this prison where pretty much it's hard knock life in there. You pretty much have to beat other people so that you don't get raped and or beaten. And he meets this Russian guy in there, and he's like, we're busting out. He's like, here's my plan. And he's got all these steps. And it's really kind of funny because as you're busting out, you know, people are screaming all the steps. So I'm like, why would you tell the people who have enslaved you what you're going to do to get out? Like, it was this big old revolutionary moment, like, brethren all together. We're a big unit. You know, and you're just kind of slaughtering Russians until you get all the way out where they use tear gas and you get taken again. And at this point, you know, you're locked in this room. There's all these TVs, and they're flashing these numbers at you. And they're constantly flashing in your mind as you're reliving what you've been doing as Alex Mason. And this, you know, muffled, distorted voice is like, we need the numbers. We need to know the order that they're in. We need to know what they're for. And Mason doesn't know. Or he does know, but it's so compounded in his mind that he doesn't know. Like, he knows, but he doesn't know.
Right.
You know, so they're trying to get him to figure it out. You know, and it's really funny because the way that I assume that the story is going to go, you know, is, you know, when he got captured the first time and got probed, this guy was looking down. He's like, I will make him feel so tortured that he will never know. Like, he has no idea what torture is like. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, are we going to, like, Stanley Kubrick this shit? And the people who have me, like, tortured and trying to get these numbers are the people who probed me in the first place? And they're just fucking me up more mentally than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that'd be a great twist on this game. And like I said, I haven't played through enough of it to know if that's the case or not. But that'd be a great twist. So, I mean, I'm dedicated very much to the story and seeing where that goes. And I'm pretty much letting Eshtom handle a lot of the multiplayer zombie. I'm probably going to play some zombie. Only because I'm a big zombie enthusiast.
Yeah, but he already threw the gauntlet down to try and beat his zombie score. And no, I'll tell you right now.
That's Zombie Arcade. It is different from Zombie Zombies. Zombies is like from Call of Duty World at War.
Oh, okay.
Nazi Zombies. It's kind of like that. I did see Blue On It play a couple of rounds where he was pretty much locked up, barricaded in this house. And you can put bars and stuff and things to hinder doorways, but eventually zombies will try to tear them down and get in. And after a while, they'll just overrun the place. So you're pretty much seeing how many levels of that you can maintain and keep the zombies out from, you know, killing everybody. And it looked really, really fun, and I've always been a big fan of zombies, so I'm looking forward to jumping into that multiplayer more than the regular maps and stuff like that, because I'm not very strong there. But like a stronghold mission, I can definitely do. But, like, going out and killing everybody before they kill me, nah. I gotta stick in one place. I'm a stick and move kind of guy.
Stick and move. Bob and weave.
Bob and weave. Bob and weave. Weave and bob. Exactly.
Gotcha.
So, but they do have this other element of Zombie Arcade where you're looking down on your map and you're this little...
Like
little,
an RTS.
Mm-hmm, yep. And you're watching all these zombies come from all these different areas and there are all these power-ups and level-ups to beef you up. Like, there's a multiple shot option where you'll, like, fire 3 or 4 bullets from your gun. There's, like, this weird green ray gun that will bounce off of zombies. You have certain abilities that will allow you to, like, speed through a whole bunch of zombies so they can't attack you. I think Eshtom got to, like, level 26 once.
Yeah.
Dude's fucking amazing.
Yeah, he is. I
understand it.
I'm just because the thing with that is once a zombie touches you, that you lose a life, and so once you're out of lives, that's like it for the zombie.
I mean, he's pretty dedicated, and he's really good at it. So I mean, I'm looking forward to the zombie and the zombie arcade, and I mean, I might just have Eshtom just fucking pwn in multiplayer for me, and I'll take all the hate mail because it's so worth it to see me higher than a level 10.
Haterade tastes so good. Ting. Is it in you?
So, like I said, so I haven't seen, I'm not even halfway through the story yet, because I haven't really sat down to do that, but I'll probably do that later on today. But, I'm really glad that I jumped into this game later than earlier, because I think if I got it during the hype, I really wouldn't have been looking
at the content as much.
No, I think I'm just like, oh my god, it's totally a new game, and we can all play it. Like, I would totally have glassed it over. And then gone through the story without absorbing it the way I'm going to now. Which, I mean, that's the same thing that happened with Modern Warfare 2. A friend of mine bought it for me, actually, so that we could all play together. And as soon as we all got it, we bounced through the story. And then
forgot
we
to play with our sister.
No, that's not even what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But after we got it and I got through the story, because they have the special ops in 2, where you could, like, do 2 co-op missions with people.
Mm-hmm.
And after I... You know, couldn't do any of those because I'm just not, you know, like, he liked to do a lot of stealth missions. And, I know too good with the stealth. I kind of just bam in your face! Bam in your not.
Yes, I know that from our Grand Theft Auto playing.
Yeah, there's no subtlety in war, bitches!
And there's no person that I've played GTA with that shot more cops for no reason.
It's like, you're eating a donut? Cacao! Oh my god, you're breathing?
Go!
Cacao!
Go! Go!
Like, I shot there. 4 cops, let's go.
4! And then I look at the star rating and go, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
King Kong ain't got
You can't even hide on the fucking island when you've got that many cops looking for you.
All you can do is jump out of helicopters and take your life.
That's pretty much all you can do. Or run. Life. Or just keep running. Just keep running. Just keep running. Swim, run. Swim, run. Get a plane.
Get a plane. Jump out of the plane.
Jump out of the plane.
Run. Get run. To the titty club. Grab some titties and then be taken out in a hail of gunfire.
Pretty much. That's it. That's what
That's how I roll on Sundays. That's what I do like a boss.
Like and, a boss.
So like I said, I'm really kind of glad that I took a slower approach to grabbing this game. When the hype is still prevalent, people are still playing it, and there's obviously going to be, I think they just released First Strike for it, so I think that's downloadable content.
I believe it is.
Added for it, so I mean, I'm still early enough that I'm not far enough from the hype, but I'm not like, oh my god, I totally played this like a week ago, and I'm totally not even going to look at the DLC.
Right.
So like, I'm really glad that I did that, so yeah.
Right, bye. One second's a gift.
If you have a job, and you
I love that.
On the conditions that you have a job and you have paid your bills for the month, then I would say buy it.
Okay.
Now, if you have a job but have not paid all your bills, I would wait.
Okay.
Wow. Or you could ask your mama.
You could always ask your mama. I don't recommend
Hey,
it.
Mommy, can I buy this cakings?
Actually, can you buy that for me? That
no, awesome. Just say, can you buy it? And then you just buy it. Don't give her the chance to say no. If you don't give her the chance to say no, she won't.
That's not right. And that, taken out of context, that's not what we mean.
Well, I don't mean this in the terms of sexual advances, guys. let's be classy. Give her a chance to say no.
Yeah, and no does mean no. It doesn't mean maybe. It doesn't mean maybe if you buy me dinner.
Dinner.
Stop it.
My bad.
All right. I watched an anime series called Kaze no Stigma, or Stigma of the Wind. And I really enjoyed it. It's actually available on Netflix right now, which is where I watched it.
Shodai.
Get the T-Pain app out of your head.
I can't help it.
Okay, anyway. So what I loved about it was that it, first of all, it was a recommendation that Netflix made because I watched Darker Than Black.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you like this, then you should like that. And I was like, yeah, really? And I looked at the cover art and, you know, it was very much
wasn't
like
there a redhead chick with like a dude?
Well, it depended on which season you were looking at. The first season had the guy and the sky and the wind and like, you know, lots of blades of wind, and so I was kind of like, is this going to be like Tears to Tiara, or is this going to be like bad? And I'd avoided it for a little bit, and finally...
Didn't the chick have a sword?
Are you going to let me tell my story?
Oh.
Thanks. That'd be awesome. So, I finally sucked it up and said, I've got some time, I'll check out an episode, and if it sucks, I'll just go about my business, because there's plenty of other things for me to watch upon the internets, right?
Mm.
So I jumped into the first episode, and I gotta say that it's better than the cover art looks, and it's deeper at times than you really would expect from what the character, your protagonist characters are like. Because it's your typical setup. You have, you know, a reluctant hero who's a little bit aloof. You've got a youngish chick who flies off the handle, and because she's so irrational, but also thinks she's better than everyone, she, you know, gets herself in trouble more than she...
Does she die?
No. It's very much your
typical... Does Tenshi murder
her? No. It's your typical, like, Tenshi Muyu-like setup. Okay? So you've got Tenshi, who has the ability to have all this power, and is basically the savior of the universe.
Oh my god, he's Jesus. He's space Jesus! Okay. He doesn't need to walk on water, because he can walk in space. Absence of air. Oxygen.
You've got your Ayaka character, who is very condescending, but also very powerful and thinks that everybody is beneath her.
Is she royal?
Kinda. Because basically the lead character's name is Kazuma, and he comes from the Kanagi clan, which is a very well-known fire user clan. And Kanagi...
Oh, that's like Airbender?
Kinda. Oh. Yeah, the element thing comes in. Okay, and the fire... mm-hmm. Masters believe that their theirs is a superior power, and so they look down on everybody else. And the only other users that you have in the first two series are wind users and earth users.
So there's no water user who could trounce fire, which is why they're all like, yeah, we're better than everybody because we get spread by air.
Right, and they basically had like a big war with the wind user clan, which is the Fuga clan, and pretty much decimated them and turned the Fuga into their...
bitch.
Basically, like, they're their servants. And,
I am feeling very hot. Wind me.
And so, the Kanagi clan has, an heir that they pick that will eventually lead the Kanagi clan. And what they do is they destroy evil spirits, basically. That's what their thing is, to keep the world safe from these demonic spirits, right? So you have a little bit of Bleach, a little bit of Tenchi, a little bit of Airbender in there. However, Genma, who is, like, the son of the head of the Kanagi clan right now, has two sons, Kazuma and Red. And,
Kazuma, Red Firehouse.
Ren.
Oh, Ren.
Yeah. And so Kazuma, has trouble controlling his fire. And as such, you know, like being a Kanagi... That's not really acceptable. And so Genma's really hard on him, and he has a battle with his cousin, I'm blanking on her name right now. I think it's Ayako. I think. Ayano. Ayano. And, because he can't control his fire, Ayano beats his ass.
She, like, whoops it. Like.
Yeah, so she becomes the heir to the Kanagi clan. And Genma basically says, you're the hugest disappointment to me ever, son. You are not my son anymore. I only have one son. Take your shit and get out.
Wow.
And so Kazuma does. And he decides that he's got to get more powerful than his dad so he can show his dad that he's not a waste. So he can
beat the fuck out of his cousin again and reclaim
his birthright. His mother, who he loves desperately, is like, look, I can't do anything else for you but give you this credit card so you can have some money to take care of yourself. I'm really disappointed that you weren't able to control your fire, but know that I'll always love you. Get out. And then she leaves. And so he's pretty much disowned by his entire fucking family. And so it gets really deep in that the story picks up, you know, I think it says like 4 years after this, but Kazuma definitely seems much older than the flashbacks that show him getting kicked out by his father. So while they say 4 years, it really looks like it's more like, you know, closer to like 8 or 9 years.
Right.
But he ends up coming back to Japan and he's completely different. And he runs into Ayano. And she kind of knows who he is, but she's not sure. And so they have a battle, and she's like, well, I'm going to kick your ass just like I did before, because you can't wield fire. And he's like, yeah, I don't need fire. And all of a sudden, he has this wind power. So he's become a very powerful wind user. And not only that, but Kazuma is actually what is known as a contractor in this universe. And so what that happens is that the deity that rules over the different elemental powers can create a contract with a user, but he has to, the deity, find that person first worthy of being the contractor. And no one ever knows what the terms of becoming the contractor are, but if they do contract with the deity, they basically get the power of the deity and can wield it on Earth. So it's the most powerful being on the planet, and deities don't contract to people on a regular basis, but somehow
he got the had this contract with the wind deity.
And so he can wield all of the powers of the wind. Like, he can fly, he can carry other people.
He no longer has the fire ability.
It's innate in him. Like, he has it, but he can't control it, so he doesn't use it. All he uses is his wind ability.
Right.
But it's very powerful, and one of the things about the wind ability is that he can summon spirits faster than every other ability, so he is a much faster to attack person, and he ends up...
Oh, he's got higher agility.
Very much so. And so some of the Kanagi clan start dying off, some of the lesser guys, and it's determined that they're killed by wind power. And so Genma believes that it's Kazuma who's done it. So he sets off to kill his son. And his father's like, can you really do it? Can you really kill your son? He's like, if he's killed our family members, absolutely. And so he goes out to kill his son. And they start talking all kinds of shit. And they have this big battle. And Kazuma completely kicks his ass. And Genma is believed to be the most powerful fire user more powerful even than Ayano, because he can wield, like, the blue flame, which is, like, some really amazing sacred flame. But Kazuma kicks his ass and actually puts him in the hospital for, like, a month. Huh. Again, because he's a contractor. And so, Kazuma basically puts himself out as, like, a gun for hire. And so he ends up running protection for Ayano and his brother Ren and the Kanagi family. But it's like, you gotta pay me, so that he's not doing it out of honor. He's not doing it
because you're my family and I love you. I'm doing it because you pay me.
Or that's so he can do to save face. But he is really doing it because he doesn't want, like, his little brother to die. Like, he's like, look, I don't like Dad. I don't like the family. They threw me out there really horrible. But, you know, you're my little brother. And so, you know, I think that you're a decent person. And the only reason why you should have power is to use it to protect people. And then there's a whole backstory, and, you know, because
it's... Do you want to tag Ayano? Like, are they cousins... Are they far away enough cousins that they can bump bump?
They're far enough cousins away that they could bump bump.
Okay, do they want to bump bump?
Initially, no. But as you get deeper in the series, you realize...
She probably
wants to... She keeps pissed, way, way too pissed off when, like, he even looks at another woman, let alone is, like, holding hands or seen with another woman. She kind of goes ape shit.
Got it.
Literally. Got it. And then she brings out the Enraiha, which is like the sacred sword that the heir to the Kanagi family can only bring out, which is a wooden sword that gets surrounded by Kanagi flame, but never singes up. That's why you know it's magical. But it basically, you know, is the hot-tempered, ill-tempered, you know, really immature girl who through... having to be basically relying on, from time to time, this reluctant hero, aloof character, one, becomes more mature, more focused, and better at what she does.
Right, okay.
A better understanding of how her family actually works as opposed to the naive thing that she believes. Because she's all about family loyalty. Like, at one point, she wants to kill Kazuma because he's dishonored the family. And, you know, her father's like, no, he hasn't. He was kicked out of the family because, you know, nobody protected him and nobody actually took the time to teach him how to really take advantage of his power. At one point, there's a person who has a family member, a Kanagi family member that dies and blames Kazuma for it. And even though she does all kinds of really horrible things in order to try and get enough power to kill Kazuma, he's like, look, you don't have a power level that can even come close to mine. You cannot kill me. But he won't really hurt her. And
he might whoop her a little bit.
No, not even. He just, like, takes it. And you know, she finally gets to a point where she's hurt a lot of other people. But even gaining the power that she's gained, she still can't even put a scratch on Kazuma. And goes through this whole thing and is about to get killed by another entity. And he takes out the other entity and she's, like, sitting there crying. I was like, after all the things I did to you and tried to do to you, I don't understand. Why did you try to protect me? And it's because, and he goes, because I'm returning the favor. And he has this flashback of when he was, like, a little kid. And a bunch of his cousins and other family members were, like, beating him up really badly because he couldn't control his fire. And this girl came out of nowhere and stood in front of him and blocked them all off and said, look, he's young and he needs help, you know, controlling his fire. And we're supposed to be his family and take care of him, not hurt him. And it's because of that moment that she stood up from when he was a kid, that no matter what she was trying to do to kill him, he wouldn't kill her. And she's like, you mean to tell me that that right there is the whole reason why you would not lay a finger on me, even though I've tried to kill you like 16 times now? And then she goes off and becomes a nun.
Whoa.
But he flirts with her and he's like, look, you can make it up to me. She's like, okay, well, I'll be waiting. And so, like, a year goes by and he and Ayano go and visit her and she's in the covenant. And they're talking, he's like, you know, I'm going to come back so you can repay me. And she's like, Kazuma, I'll be here and I'll repay you any way you want. And Ayano goes, like, all apeshit. She's like, you know she's a nun, right? He's like, hey, repayment is repayment. And they're walking down the stairs. And she's like, Kazuma! And you're just like, you know he's going to go back and tap that
nun. He's going to tap that holy.
He's going to tap that holy, holy. And so there, it's a really interesting walk. Like, you really do have to get, like, two episodes into it to really know if it's going to be something that you want to watch and you're going to enjoy or not. But it definitely is deeper than it looks like. I wouldn't say that it's on the same level as Blacker Than Black, because it's not that
darker
deep.
Darker Than Black, yeah.
Darker Than Black. It's not on that level of just darkness, you know, real noirish. But it definitely is enjoyable. I would say it wouldn't suck as a gift for anybody who enjoys the action anime that has the lighthearted piece on the side. Definitely, definitely wouldn't suck. Other than that, if you've got Netflix and you enjoy anime at all, it's absolutely worth watching. There are two seasons that are there, and the end of the second season definitely sets it up for a third and answers some questions about what happened to Kazuma in between the time that he left the Kanagi family and being back here.
It's like Jesus.
There's also a mini arc for his brother Ren, where he actually comes out of his shell of being a tag-along and actually not only develops his power even more and gets more powerful, but gets his own little love interest, which, you know...
Is a boy?
No, it's not a boy. Although Ren definitely is one of those boy characters that is like... He looks way too much like a girl.
Lowly Shota. Shota type.
Thank you.
The Shota type.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, you know, at school, some people don't like, but he's got like two friends who are absolutely in love with him. One's a girl and one's a guy. And they fight each other all the time to try and get the other one to not spend time with Ren so that they could spend time with Ren.
And make him fall in love with them.
Yeah. And while they're out one time, this random person comes up and, like, goes to hit the girl because they want to get Ren to kidnap him. And they don't realize that Ren is, like, wicked powerful. And so Ren, like, throws him up against the wall. He's like, don't you ever touch anyone like that again, especially my friend or a girl. And, like, the two friends are looking at Ren like, oh my god, that was, like, wicked awesome. And because they don't know that he's a fire wielder.
Right.
It's a secret that they keep from most people out in public, and they don't let demons be seen and that kind of thing. And then later on in that same episode, they end up in an alleyway somehow, and the guy that he was fighting earlier gets his brother, who somehow has the ability to use fire, and they're trying to figure out why, and so he goes to attack them, and so Ren has no choice. He has to keep them safe, and so he uses the Kanagi Flame and, of course, purifies this guy and gets rid of the demon that's inside of him.
That's
so
allowing him to use his ability.
And so he can't use fire anymore, and his two friends, because he forgot that, you know, they were there, and he goes, oh, crap, now they see me, and they just look at Ren, and they're like, Ren, that was amazing! And, like, they think it's the coolest thing ever, and then they want all the details, and they're loving me even more. But it's interesting in that they don't spend too much time going through the path of the other characters, other than the main character. And they don't shove Kazuma's past...
In your face.
In your face. Like, you literally are led to only the pieces that you need at the point in the story that you need them. And so that's what I really like about it. So the anime is called Kaze no Stigma, or Stigma of the Wind. There are some things that happen that I haven't gone into.
Do they ever broach how he got the contract with the wind deity? Like, do they bring that up?
Nope.
Cool.
Nope. It is. And I think that that's something that if there is a third season,
that
they'll explore there. But there is an anime, as well as an RPG game that came out in Japan. So if you want to get the full story, you should definitely check those out. But I definitely say that it is worth a rent if you've got the Netflix. And if not, it wouldn't suck as a gift if you're an anime fan. So that's what I got. With that, I'm going to have to remind you to hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or the short address, which is...
ESH.co, that's ESH.co. The shortest will bounce it along when you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. iTunes, subscribe, do it now, leave a comment, 3 stars or better.
You know, you're getting real specific about that iTunes thing. Anyway... If you want to make sure that you get our episodes the moment we put them out on the internet, then you want to make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, like she said. Simply visit the iTunes Music Store and look for Electric Sisterhood. Boom, hit the subscribe button. And oh man, every time we put out an episode, it'll be downloaded to your iTunes library and ready for you to put it on the iDevice or computer of your choosing for your listening pleasure. You can also find us in the Zune Marketplace for those of you who do not have an iDevice but have a ZXMS device. What'd you call it? I don't even know. Like, if you have a Zune, is that a Z device?
I don't know.
Is it an MS device?
It's a you need to get an iTunes device.
You're so funny. But for those of you who do use the Zune Marketplace, we are there as well. So you can subscribe to the podcast that way and get a hold of it. But you definitely, definitely want to get a hold of it through iTunes.
Oh. If you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine, but please be looking out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh, and while our podcasts go up fresh and poppin' typically every Monday, you can follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which flies out on Tuesday, and you can follow that up with an episode of the Geek Agro podcast, which flows out on Wednesday. So right there, we've got your nerd serve through podcasts up into the middle of the week. And for the rest of the week, there's all the stuff that we write on our websites, which you can find conveniently in one spot at landofesh.com. You can check out what we write on Twitter. You can check out what we write up on, we've got stuff on All Games. We've got stuff on YouTube, which we actually are pumping out as many videos as we can from our CES coverage. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, make sure that you go to youtube.com/electricsisterhood and check out some of our CES videos that are there. We think that you'll get a hoot or two out of three, or all of them.
Hoot.
So check that stuff out. We post pictures to our Flickr whenever we go to events. We're pretty much all over the interwebs. So just do a search, interact, and let us know what you like and what you don't. I think that's pretty much everything. Oh, yeah. The magazine.
Oh.
New issue is out. We've got stuff on the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood game. We've got stuff on the Dead Weather. We've got stuff in there. We've got a letter from the editor that's not from the editor.
Yeah, that's me.
That would be Panda.
Me. Read it. It's awesome. It will inspire you.
We've got some fiction in there, actually. A really interesting Monsters, Inc. and Buffy the Vampire slash, you know, in there, which I thought was fun. So there's all kinds of nitty gritty, awesome-y things in there. So make sure that you cop that shit. So now it's time for Should I Dig? See how I did that? Cop that shit. Should I Dig? That's called a segue. Yeah. It was a really bad one, though.
We can work on it.
Yeah. I mean, we've got time. We've got another week. So Panda, shit you're digging this week. What you got?
Twizzlers.
Twizzlers are good. I agree with that.
Scorpion bowls.
Scorpion bowls are good, but dangerous for you.
Oh, man.
Very dangerous.
And
this is very important. Danger,
I had three
Panda.
Of
danger.
Not the mini ones either. I mean, like, the bowls.
Yeah, I know. And I could tell when you came home last night.
And last but not least.
Well, this morning.
The IMT pain app. Show day.
I'm really surprised that you just now discovered the IMT
pain
app.
I did not want to get it straight away because I knew it would be problematic. I wanted to approach it from an adult perspective.
You wanted to approach it?
Approach it.
You wanted to give it a brooch?
Yes. A shiny one that said, Shoday. But anyway, I didn't want to jump on the, I really didn't want to jump on the hype bus. And I know I've talked about it before.
The hype bus?
Yeah, the hype bus. Like when something releases, oh my God, everyone just has to have it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm
jumping on the hype wagon?
Yeah.
It's now a bus?
That's how many people are on it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Does it have Wi-Fi?
It's a double decker. It's like a Bolt bus.
Dude, but does it have Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it's a Bolt bus.
Oh.
But yeah, so I wanted to wait and see just how much staying power it had, and I really dig it now. I was playing with it earlier, and I love it because they want you to use headphones when you use it so you can hear yourself.
I really want to put that on the interwebs,
but
Panda won't let me.
Nope. Because in the headphones, you sound great and in tune. But in reality, you probably sound like ass. And I'm not musically inclined. I'm kind of glad that I'm not in the mood to try to sing some Keisha Cole or Alicia Keys. Because I'd be real... But man, I sound so great. And then in real life, Esh Mom's like, kill her now. Kill her now. So, definitely you want to buy that app and be around your closest friends who won't care that you're tone deaf.
That you can't carry a tune in a bucket?
Nope.
Okay.
But you can with the auto-tune.
Auto-tune is pretty good. Creating careers since 1999.
No. That was like 2005, I think.
Yeah, but T-Pain actually started paying with a Mac with, you know, GarageBand and auto-tune in 99.
Mega gigabyte, son! He's doing like that new lineup with, I think, Toshiba's.
Yes.
Mega gigabyte, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your limo cat.
Okay.
What about you? Shit you dig.
Shit that I dig for this week starts off with bandwidth. I fucking love bandwidth. And by that, I mean having lots of it when it comes to the interwebs, because I have learned through my experience that when you don't have mega bandwidth, things mega suck.
Mega bandwidth, son.
So that's the first thing on my list. The other thing that shit that I dig, I'm gonna have to go with The Wizard of Oz, because one, I just looked at it, and two, I do fucking enjoy that movie.
I haven't watched it in forever.
Well, you need to fix that, because I absolutely, absolutely love that. And then the final shit that I dig has to be Mountain Dew Throwback. Yep, yep. I wish that it wasn't available for only a limited time. If it's my go juice. It fuels me more so than coffee, because I can, you know, get up and go, 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 go! So, yeah, that's the shit that I dig for this week.
Awesome.
So, as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, people.
Later, y'all.
Peace.